I'm Hamza Aziz, the producer of the Talking with Docs podcast. You might know Talking with Docs from their popular YouTube channel. Garlic does more than just add flavor. It's packed with health benefits. Hear why you should eat it daily.
Garlic. Should you be eating 1 to 2 cloves of garlic every single day for your health?
You stink. Have you been trying this on your own? You smell like you have garlic body odor.
Okay.
Well, that's too much. What? Why? That was good.
That was too much. That didn't go too far. Okay, here we go. Welcome to Talking with Docs. I'm Dr. Brad Weaning.
And I'm Dr. Paul Zaldo.
So today we're talking about garlic. There's a lot of things on social media and on the internet about garlic, and but whether or not it can actually make a difference in your health. So we did a bit of a dive to find out, is there any evidence to show that, hey, people that eat more garlic have health benefits?
Some people are going to ask, can it affect my hormone levels? Like, can it increase my testosterone?
Yes, or even your estrogen. Stick around to the end and we're going to answer that question for you.
All right.
Okay, so what's garlic? Garlic is part of what's called the allium genus, or the family of foods that includes onions and shallots and chives. And they all kind of do the same thing, but garlic is really the superstar of this family when it comes to health.
Okay, so the chives and the shallots jealous?
I think they are.
I would be, based on the evidence.
But often when they're eaten together, actually there's some potential benefits when they, synergistic benefits.
Synergy.
Yeah, you know, onions and garlic. Who doesn't like onions and garlic together?
A lot of people.
Okay, so when you talk about garlic, how can you consume garlic? So there's like the fresh and the raw garlic.
Mm-hmm.
There's the cooked garlic, and then there's like the garlic powder or the garlic supplement.
Garlic bread.
So any of those things could lead to garlic bread.
Right.
I would say, though, the evidence clearly shows that fresh garlic is the best.
Yeah, usually that's the way it is.
It makes sense.
When you cook stuff, the heat denatures the proteins in
right.
It, changes the shape of those molecules, and then you lose some of those effects.
Yeah, there are a couple plants where actually it helps. We're not talking about that today.
Yeah.
But yes, I would say, generally speaking, you don't want to cook it. When it comes to garlic, if you're going to saute it really lightly. Otherwise, the benefits are taken away the more you cook it. And so how much garlic are we talking about? We're talking about 1 to 2 cloves a day, which is 600 to 1200 milligrams if you're looking at a supplement or some other type of form. But that's kind of the dose that most of the randomized controlled trials, and there are a shocking number of trials on garlic that are gonna make it feel better.
Who funded all these trials? I mean, garlic's off patent now.
It is interesting. So I guess maybe because the study itself still costs money, though. It's like the organization of most studies, not actually the product that usually is the barrier.
The Farmers Association, the Garlic Farmers
Association. Well, maybe. I didn't look into how much money is driven by garlic, but I suspect it's a fair bit.
Yeah.
And so what in garlic?
We live in a garlic economy.
I think there probably are countries that maybe are garlic-driven exports. So the two compounds that are really most dominant or most responsible for the health benefits are something called allicin and diallyl sulfide. So these are sulfur-based compounds. What's really interesting about them, particularly with fresh garlic, so when you press your garlic, when you crush it, here's something that's going to be one of your number one takeaways from today's video. You need to wait about 10 or 15 minutes because the actual act of crushing it or putting it through your garlic press activates an enzyme called alliinase. And what this does, it breaks down a compound called alliinin down to a compound called allicin. And allicin is the one that really does all the heavy lifting for the health.
Must be what Elvis Costello was singing about in his song, allicin. What about finely chopped?
So finely chopped, same thing.
So
that kind of crushing, press, anything that kind of, it's a physical damage to the garlic that leads to this enzyme being more active. So hold off, don't just crush it and then eat it.
No.
Which probably no one's doing anyway.
Probably not.
And if you're eating an entire clove, you're actually probably not getting all the potential benefits unless you chew it
which, and leave it in your mouth for 10 to 15 minutes.
Mama.
And you know what? The health benefits of garlic may not be useful because you will live a life alone.
And we've done studies before. We've done talks that show being by yourself is actually bad for your health.
So there you go.
You got to stay connected. So maybe monitor your garlic.
It's the yin and yang of garlic.
Okay, so we got just short of 10 things that garlic does as far as your health benefits. So let's start at the top. What do people mostly care about when it comes to health? What do people want to reduce the risk of?
Well, death.
Yeah, yes.
I think that for me, the classic one is blood pressure.
Yes.
Because I remember when I was in grade 8, we had a French teacher.
You don't.
I'm serious. And so she would absolutely reek of garlic.
Yes.
Well, French was a tough enough class to sit through at the best of times.
Sure.
But when she came in, exuding garlic odors in every direction, it was hard to pay attention, focus, and learn the conjugation of avoir or etre. And she was taking garlic.
Right.
because of hypertension. And this was a long time ago.
So she's a smart lady, because there actually have been good randomized controlled trials that have shown that taking garlic in that typical 1 to 2 clove or 600 to 1200 milligram range can reduce your systolic pressure by somewhere in the range of 5 to 10 millimeters and your diastolic pressure in the 2 to 5 millimeter range. So like a significant measure, typically over a period of 8 to 12 weeks for to see the benefit, but it can really make a difference for your blood pressure.
And garlic is the reason I don't speak French so well.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So similar to that, staying on our heart health side, so almost like Ernie and Bert, really. Mm-hmm. I'd say high blood pressure goes with high cholesterol.
Someone's called us that
before. I know.
Okay, cholesterol. That one rings close to home for me, because as you know, I am on a statin for my cholesterol. I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do or if it's working or not, but...
Right. And it makes a lot of people, it's a hot topic as far as there's been some controversy about the role specifically of LDL and how much do we need to lower and all the rest of the stuff. What we would say is that there are randomized controlled trials that show garlic can reduce your total cholesterol in the range of 10 to 15% according to one randomized controlled trial, and your LDL specifically about 10%.
And so that sort of is in keeping with that plant-based diet that's going to help your cholesterol, right?
Right. So the way that they think it happens is it not only reduces production in our liver, which despite what people think is, well, your cholesterol doesn't come from your food.
No.
Most of it is made by your liver because it is necessary. So when people go on medication to lower their cholesterol, the goal is not to get your cholesterol to zero because it would kill you. It is a critical component of many functions in our body. But it reduces the synthesis and also increases the breakdown of cholesterol molecules and absorption of bile. So,
and basically that's why there's such a genetic component to hypercholesterolemia.
Because your liver is like turned on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's number one, heart health. Good for your heart health.
That's a good way to look at it. My liver is turned on.
Yeah. Okay, number two.
Is that all number one? Blood pressure, cholesterol?
Heart health is number one.
Okay. The other big thing that people are interested in these days is the antioxidant properties of various foods.
How much have we talked about that?
We've talked a lot about antioxidants. Cleaning up those free radicals that can do damage to your cells.
Right. So so free radicals are unstable molecules that damage your cells and even can do damage to your DNA. And this leads to things like inflammation and cancer and other chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease. So antioxidant molecules in garlic can help reduce this.
Okay, so we've got heart health, we've got antioxidants.
It's a pretty good start.
Yeah.
Number
three. We could end it here and it'd be good enough to eat garlic.
We could. I'd say I'd eat garlic after the first two. Number three, I'd say, is a very hot topic. We should dedicate an entire video just to this topic alone. Is it has anti-inflammatory properties. So we talk about why does inflammation even matter? What is it? What does it look like? It's your body is kind of angry.
Mm-hmm.
Angry, and there's a way that we measure this, and it's through blood tests of things like C-reactive protein, interleukin-6, and tumor necrosis factor alpha. Long, confusing chemical names, but there have been randomized controlled trials that show taking garlic reduces these very measurably.
Now, inflammation is part of the immune response and is absolutely necessary. If you cut yourself or you get an infection, you need the inflammation. That's the beginning of many responses. However, when that inflammation process balance gets tipped to the side of inflammation, it's now becoming implicated in so many.
Almost everything, to be honest with you.
Everyone's thinking it's sort of an inflammatory situation, especially like plaques building in your arteries, plaques breaking off, coronary artery disease, there is an inflammatory component to it. So anti-inflammatory properties of garlic may be overlapping into the heart health as well.
And that probably is why we've known that aspirin, like baby aspirin, seems to have so many roles. Yeah. Not that we're telling everybody to take it, but that's probably where some of its benefit obviously comes from.
That's a funny thing too, the anti-inflammatory, because it's a dose-specific response. Too much anti-inflammatory will harm your heart, will harm your kidneys,
your stomach,
will help your stomach.
Yeah.
So don't, many nephrologists, as we've learned on our show, say don't take regular anti-inflammatories.
That's right.
But that whole low dose of anti-inflammatory was used a lot. I mean, that was the first thing you give when someone's having a heart attack.
Take two. Call me in the morning.
If you can.
Okay. Number four.
If you pull through.
Number four is immune support. So everybody's looking for a way. It's October in Canada. Mm-hmm. We're heading into cold and flu season, right? So everyone's looking for a way. How can I reduce the number of colds that I have or the duration or whatever? So what I would tell you is that there are good randomized controlled trials that show a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
One, reduced frequency of colds. Like reduced it by almost half in this one randomized controlled trial. Reduced duration of the cold, 1.5 versus 5 days in another randomized control trial. So significant for me. If I'm sick all week versus Tuesday, I'm already turning the corner, I get through the rest of the week, or I get to have a weekend at least.
Right.
Okay. Number two, it showed reduced frequency, duration, and severity of upper respiratory tract infections, right, which could fall into the category of a cold as well. Mm-hmm. And then the last was they actually did a scientific study to measure immune function. So T cell function, as well as the number of something called natural killer cells, were taking garlic, increased both of these.
Right. Do you think the cold frequency reduction is possibly because nobody is going near you because you stink?
I knew you were going to go there. So they did not control for that variable. Yeah. These people were not in isolation. But obviously, if you isolated yourself, you probably would not get a cold.
That's the pandemic, isn't it?
It's sure
all over again.
It sure is. Okay.
What about vampires? What's the mechanism there?
What do you mean?
Garlic keeps vampires away.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, maybe it's the bleeding.
Could be.
Yeah.
Was that our next one?
No.
Oh,
no.
The
next one is it has antimicrobial properties.
Right.
Okay, so microbes are just bugs, and that can be a bacteria, a virus, a fungus, a parasite. Mm-hmm. And shocking to me when we did some research that there have been randomized controlled trials on all these things, and it seems to have benefit to the point where they used it for yeast infections, where they actually put it on candida and compared it to a medication called clotrimazole, where it was comparable.
Fungus.
One where they put it on warts, mm-hmm, HPV-induced warts, and 60% of the trial group actually got rid of their warts, okay, just by putting topical garlic on.
That's a virus.
Yeah, so it's been shown MRSA. There's actually a study for patients that were in the ICU. They gave them garlic supplements, and those people had less MRSA than the people that did not have garlic.
MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. That's a bacteria that's become resistant to many of our antibiotics.
And makes us nervous, right? Mm-hmm. So any way that we can reduce the amount of medication you have to take for these things, definitely worth considering. Not saying naturally abort any treatments that you're doing right now,
no,
but something to consider, or as an adjuvant. Often it was with the other, mm-hmm, one and showed that it certainly had a synergistic effect.
Okay.
Number six.
Digestion.
Yeah.
Improving your digestion. Ironically, yeah, too much garlic can upset your digestion.
Yeah, they say like bloating and you can have a bit of stomach pain.
People, and I'm sure everybody's different. Some people out there, leave a comment if it's you, just can't tolerate a high dose of garlic.
Yeah.
But improving digestion is one of the toted benefits of garlic.
Yeah, and it can improve the health of your microbiome. And we talk a lot about the microbiome. It's kind of this weird, kind of like the cloud. Mm-hmm. No one really gets it. But mm-hmm, but garlic is a prebiotic, so it's actually food, just like fiber is, for those healthy bacteria to create an environment that's good for you.
Which is why I often go to the honey garlic chicken wing.
Yeah. Someone's going to say, actually, you know what? I had a patient in 2 days ago that said, hey, tell Zalza, I'm going to start reaching for the chicken wings after a while. I'm like, wow.
In moderation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Number seven is reducing cancer, or cancer protective, okay, or cancer treating benefits. So again, these are randomized controlled trials. These are not, though, designed in longitudinal fashion where people are given garlic versus not garlic to see if they get cancer, but more observational studies, yeah, where they say, hey, these people are taking garlic or whatever, and they seem to have less. So there are three specific cancers that they looked at. So one was stomach cancer. So stomach cancer is directly correlated to something called H. pylori, which is a bacteria that lives in a lot of people's stomachs that get ulcers and can lead to cancer. So people that took garlic had lower incidence of H. pylori. That's number one. Number two was colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. So they had people that had a history of adenomas or polyps on colonoscopy. They gave them garlic and it reduced the progression of these polyps, so a lower chance of progressing to a cancer. Mm-hmm. And the last one was people with prostate cancer. Randomized trials showed that people that had prostate cancer and took garlic supplements had lower PSAs, which does not directly mean your mortality or morbidity are gonna be reduced, but definitely that is one way that they measure progression of prostate
definitely
cancer.
Definitely the way you monitor prostate cancer is with your PSA.
Yeah. Okay, so that gets us through cancer. So it leads us to the hormone component that we were talking about before.
Okay, so is it going to increase your testosterone levels?
Okay.
If you take garlic regularly.
So this is a really important one. So there have been rat studies that shown that giving garlic to rats, like, can you imagine all these little rats? Hey, here's some garlic.
Yeah, yeah. That rat looks ripped.
That's right. So what it did, though, made them smell probably. They're like, yeah, hey, this rat
that problem. Must be where gym rat comes from.
Maybe. I don't think
that's
so.
That's why we always use rats.
I don't think so. Right. But what it did show is that a hormone called luteinizing hormone that is involved in the pathway towards testosterone, luteinizing hormone went up, so it showed that that related to an increase in testosterone in rats.
Yeah.
However, to date, there have been no randomized controlled trials in humans that have shown that taking garlic will increase your testosterone. And we've talked about this before. the ways to increase your testosterone are like general health measures. So resistance training, you know, good sleep, reducing your stress. There are not really a lot of foods that can necessarily increase your testosterone.
And that is a sort of a gray area, that what is the right testosterone level. It's such a massive range.
It's a wide range. And I think everybody's different. Yeah. And I know there is a trend, I'd say, for more kind of middle-aged men to be taking testosterone.
Yes, I notice that a lot of my patients are on testosterone.
Are you on testosterone?
No.
No, me either.
No.
You're natty.
No. Yeah. Is that the way you say it?
Yeah, you're like natural.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're natural. Okay, so the last one, the other side of the hormone scale is estrogen.
Yes.
Yeah, so there was one randomized controlled trial that showed in postmenopausal women, people that took garlic supplements or ate garlic had less risk of osteoporosis and less progression of the loss of their bone density. So it won't necessarily grow your bone, but we know that postmenopausal women are at risk of osteoporosis because of increased bone loss. And in all of us, that whether or not we have bone loss or bone gain is really relating to turnover. So we're always breaking down our bone and then building it back up. It's that balance. So if we can reduce the loss typically, it's going to help preserve our bone.
Right. And as we age, we do suffer loss of bone mass.
Men and women.
Resistance training, healthy diet, those are things to keep your bone mass. But in addition, now some evidence that garlic might help.
Right. Women. So is there anyone who should not eat garlic? So I'd say, generally speaking, probably not. But so what are the downsides to garlic?
We talked about elevator operators.
Yeah, so it does cause potentially bad breath, depending on how much garlic you have. I mean, brush your teeth.
Halitosis.
Yeah, and then even if you have lots of garlic, it actually oozes out of your pores, so you can actually have like body odor, like garlic body odor.
I think the kind of bad breath garlic kind, the brushing teeth isn't going to do it. It's coming out of your lungs.
But for me,
brush your lungs.
I don't think that's bad breath. I think garlic breath is not bad breath. I think, you know what I mean? Yeah, because it's identifiable. It's for me. I don't like bad breath that I don't know what. Why does it smell like that? If it's garlic, I'm like, I like garlic. No?
I think a lot of people are going to disagree with you in the comments.
Leave a comment about garlic breath.
If you like garlic breath.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, you mentioned that sometimes people that eat garlic, and it varies between individuals, you can have some bloating or some stomach discomfort with eating garlic. And then the last one is, studies have shown that it can actually measurably increase your bleeding time. So if you are on an anticoagulant already, if you are at risk of bleeding through some antiplatelet mechanism that they're not totally sure of, so be a little bit careful, especially if you're having upcoming surgery or something. When someone says, hey, what medications are you taking? Your surgeon's trying to figure out if you're going to bleed. Mention things like garlic.
And that may be one of the mechanisms that helps your heart health too, because a lot of cardiac treatments are aimed at reducing your clotting.
It's all tied in. So the take-home message for me is, consider taking some garlic. Garlic's cheap. It's readily accessible. Just crush it. It tastes delicious. Put it on a salad. Raw, ideally. Wait 10 or 15 minutes, one or two cloves a day, and you can see the many benefits of garlic.
And we don't even have to say check with your healthcare provider before you eat garlic.
Well, if you're bleeding, I hear it's only for
but garlic, it's in a restaurant.
I know, yes. Yes, if you're gonna eat a lot of it, or really change your diet, maybe talk to them, but otherwise, I would agree. And if you like this video, please like it, subscribe to our channel, share it with someone that you think can benefit from it, and please leave a comment. Let us know your thoughts on garlic.
Remember, you are in charge of your own health and your own garlic intake and thereby your own breath and body odor.
We'll see you next time.